going out, I want to ask you if you'd join me in turning your attention to our scripture for this morning in Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 10 through 17 and then invite you to affirm it with me after I read it. I'll say this is the word of God for the people of God, and you say together, thanks be to God. Here in our scripture for this morning, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. A woman was there who had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't stand up straight. When he saw her, Jesus called her to him and said, "Woman, you are set free from your sickness." He placed his hands on her, and she straightened up at once and praised God. The synagogue leader, incensed that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, responded, "There are 6 days during which work is permitted. Come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath day." The Lord replied, "Hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from its stall and lead it out to get a drink? Then isn't it necessary that this woman, a daughter of Abraham, bound by Satan for 18 long years, be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said these things, all his opponents were put to shame, but all those in the crowd rejoiced at all the extraordinary things he was doing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In this book, Courage, by Tom Berlin, it's the book that I'm leading a study about each Sunday right after worship. We're down in the hospitality room. You're welcome to join us this morning. But in this book, when Tom addresses this particular passage, he invokes our imagination by pointing out that Jesus went to a synagogue on this Sabbath day, and not necessarily his home synagogue. He traveled to different synagogues, and so we picture Jesus going into this synagogue, this church that maybe he had never been to before. And Bishop Berlin invokes our imagination and says, "I wonder where he sat. Where do you sit when you go to a church for the first time?" It's a big thing. Have you ever been to a church that wasn't yours? On, say, a Sunday morning or when they would gather and you go in for the first time? Where do you sit? Where do you not want to sit? Front row, bless you. Yes, amen. Where else do you not want to sit? In somebody else's seat, right? You walk in, you think, I don't want to put down where somebody has been sitting Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, their whole lives or for years and years. And then have to deal with that awkward moment or that embarrassment of, what if they come up to me and say, "Excuse me, you're in my seat." Now, no one here would do that, I'm sure. Or just that uncomfortable feeling that wherever you chose to land, maybe you displaced somebody from their seat that they would normally sit in. It's a thing when you go to a church for the first time. Where do you sit? Maybe it's a small thing, but it's one of 100 small things that can make it really challenging, daunting for somebody to want to go to a church that's not theirs, or maybe they don't have a church, and to go to a church for the first time. No matter how hospitable the people there may actually be or consider themselves to be. So it's no small act to be willing to go into a church for the first time. If you've done it, you know that. You may be here this morning and did that today. May the Lord bless you on a rainy, cold, time-changed Sunday morning. Thank God you're here. Sit wherever you want to on behalf of this congregation. It takes some courage to go to a church, to go into a church for the first time. Some conviction even that there is something you are looking for, that there is something you are in need of, that there's something stirring in your mind or in your heart that has motivated you to take that step that is prohibited by 100 small reasons not to, or to be afraid to, and to do it anyway. That takes some courage. Now, last week, the message and the chapter in this book that we discussed after worship was about the clarity of courage. How Jesus stood in the temple and read from the scroll of Isaiah and identified with clarity his mission, his purpose in the world, why he existed, claimed it for himself, and then told the people that were listening to him, "This is being fulfilled in your presence today." And that with courage came clarity for Jesus. And then he handed that to his followers, to his people, that call to that same sense of clarity. In our conversation last week after worship, it was brought up, you know, when we talk about courage, it's interesting to think that people can be courageous for the right reasons and the wrong reasons. And how do you differentiate? And man, that brought us right back around to the clarity of Jesus' mission. To declare good news for the poor, sight for the blind, to set the oppressed and the prisoners free. This is the day of the Lord's favor. I didn't recommend in here, but I did in there, a book that I read recently called Daring Greatly by Brené Brown. If you're interested in that topic of courage and what that looks like lived out, she's a great author, has a great way of addressing it. And one thing she says in that book is that we have to be willing to have the vulnerability to show up, to be present and engage, to let ourselves be seen and have the courage and the willingness to be a part. And Jesus, with that same clarity, then has the conviction of that clarity when he comes to this moment in this synagogue. Jesus heals lots of people in the scriptures. Some of those people come to him asking for it. Some of those people come to him asking for it for someone else. And then some of those people, he just picks them out of the crowd. "You, I see you. I see your need." And that's what he did with this woman. And what's at issue today in this passage of Scripture for the people is this religious subject of Sabbath. Why? Because Jesus healed this woman on the Sabbath. Boy, that's a lost art and discipline in our day. The day of rest, the day of putting everything else aside, to rest and honor God, to acknowledge and appreciate who God is and has been in our lives and in our history. Particularly for the Israelite people of this day, their Sabbath day was a day to rest and to remember the Exodus, when God had brought their people out of slavery in Egypt, out of captivity, and gave them freedom in the promised land. Sabbath was a day to set everything else aside and remember that. Don't we long for Sabbath? Have you ever tried to put your phone down? Turn it off? Set it aside? Why'd you do that? Because you know you needed to. You needed it. You needed a break, a reprieve. We all need it. But that's a sermon for another day. But in this particular story, it's the Sabbath. They're in the synagogue, and Jesus sees this woman who's crippled, who's been crippled for 18 years, bent over. I wonder if you'd just experience that for a moment with me. Now, I want to name that there are folks in here who know what that feels like. To have your body bent against your own wishes and intentions. But this woman for 18 years, it said, was bent over so that she couldn't even stand up straight. So here's what I'm asking you to do. Just as an exercise in participation, just right where you are, would you consider doing this? Just like loosen your shoulders up a little bit and then just sort of roll them forward and the top of your head forward to where your gaze is sort of pointed down. And just stay right there. Not for 18 years, not for 18 minutes even. Just stay there for a minute, would you? See, this woman was crippled, bent down, where all she could see was the dirt under her feet. Couldn't even look up. Barely maybe even look around. She lived her days this way. She lived her life this way for so long that this was how she came to know life. Are you doing it? Are you just sort of looking down, hunched over, eyes open? Experience for a moment what she experienced for a life. Can you imagine how limiting that was? How potentially undignifying that was. How she may have felt to her very core a sense that she was less than. Not able to do what everyone else can do. She didn't belong or fit in. Probably missed out on things. Probably was left out of things. Unintentionally or intentionally. And we know from history that there would have also been a stigma related to this that called into question the very nature of her being, her righteousness, her holiness. She would have been considered unclean. And this is how she lived. Jesus that day in the temple on the Sabbath saw her. And with the conviction of the clarity of who he was and the courage to live that out, not only did he see her, but he identified with her. We can hear in it his empathy, his compassion for her. And with the conviction of courage and knowing that he had the power to do something about it, he told her, "You have been set free." And she stood up. Stand up. At least raise your head. My God, he set her free. From all that she carried, from all that weighed her down, from all that set her apart, that limited her, that may have made her feel like she didn't have a place or a seat, he set her free. And with the conviction of courage, you get a response. You get a reaction. What was hers? To praise God. to bless the name of the Lord out loud in that moment in front of everybody in that synagogue. Praise God. What else can you do when Jesus sets you free, gives you a place and a seat? But praise the Lord. I got to wonder what kind of conviction and courage she went out from that synagogue with that day to share that same blessing and praise that she had experienced with any and everybody else she could find. But she wasn't the only one that had a reaction. The religious leaders in the synagogue had a reaction too. The scripture said they were indignant. One in particular leader. Indignant, why? Because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. They had a law. They had a rule. They had expectations. This is how we do things. And Jesus came in and messed all that up. Thank God that just when we think we've got it all figured out and this is how you do it and this is what it's supposed to look like, this is who gets to be where, what, and when, Jesus comes in and messes all that up and sets us free from all of that. But some folks who liked and lived by those laws and liked to have other people live by those laws got a little upset. It's funny how the rules aren't quite as bad for the people who are enforcing them. They got upset because he had healed on the Sabbath, and they said, no, we got to give them a little bit of credit here. They knew what they were talking about. They knew what they were doing, and they were doing their best to honor God. They said, Jesus, there's six other days in the week. Just come back and heal on some other day. Let this woman come be healed on some other day. And that's the nuance here. It's not like they were saying, no, there ought not be any healing. No, nobody should be set free. They just said it has to be look like this. Just has to be done this way. But oh man, with the conviction of his courage and seeing that woman and all that she had been through for 18 years, Jesus said, this can't wait another day. Oh, what a glorious moment when Jesus looks at you and says, this can't wait another day. Be free. Stand up. Take your place and your seat. You belong. Oh, and then when they pushed back on him, oh, he used that word that cuts us to the bone, particularly people of faith. He said, you hypocrite. For my money, that's the one I've heard the most in our world, in our culture, talking about Christians. See it portrayed in film and TV. You hypocrites. Don't you untie your donkey and your ox, even on the Sabbath, to lead them out so they can have something to drink. And in fact, they had created a caveat, an exception to this law that says, well, you know what? We got to let our animals have something to drink, so we can do this. Jesus is like, come on. What are you doing in this world when you're saying this is how we're supposed to live, but then when it's something you need or something that's going to work for you, you're like, well, we'll just sidestep that over here this way and we don't really think about that. But now those people, they need to follow the law. Jesus said, if we can feed the animals, can't we set somebody free? Can't we give somebody life and place in the kingdom of God? And with the conviction of his courage, he saw her. He claimed her. Called her, set her free, healed her, made her new. Siblings of faith and anybody else that wandered in wondering,
Jesus sees you, and he claims you, and he calls you, and he is setting you free and healing you and making you whole. Out of the conviction of his courage. And then that conviction is contagious. Doesn't that rub off on you? The conviction of who Jesus is and what he is about in this world and what he's done in your life and calling you to do and be in the lives of other people. We make light of the fact that it's cold and rainy and it's a time chase Sunday and we lost an hour, but hey, it took some conviction to get on up and get in here. Or give you credit, even if you're with us online in your PJs or wherever you are. Like, it took a little bit of conviction to say, this matters to me, to us. We're going to be a part of this. It takes conviction to give money to the church, to fund the budget, the mission and ministry of this church. That takes some conviction in our world where we got everything else and everybody else that wants a little piece of your pie to say, I'm going to set this aside first and foremost to give it to God. And let it be a part of what God is going to do in the world through my church and through me. That's no small thing. It takes conviction of courage to bring your children and say, this is going to be a priority in our lives. We are going to make sure that our kids are exposed to a community of faith and teaching and lessons about faith. And we're going to do that as a family. And we're going to demonstrate to them that this matters, that we think it makes a difference in their lives and will be a part of who they become. That takes conviction and courage. In this book, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute down there in the hospitality room. I don't know if you heard my invitation to join us, but we'd love for you to join us when we're done with worship. Bishop Berlin says, you can feel this conviction, the conviction of the work of Christ, this Christ-centered conviction stirring up with you when you attend to where is your righteous anger? Where is there something that is bubbling up inside of you because you see injustice or oppression, or you see somebody hunched over or bent over physically, spiritually, emotionally, where somebody is heavy laden and burdened? Where is that righteous anger stirred up in you? Where is that longing inside of you for the world to be a different place, to be more like what you know the kingdom of God to be like? Where is that longing stirring up inside of you? Where is that sense of urgency that comes with it? This cannot wait 18 years. This has to happen now. And I see it. God has given me eyes to see it and a conviction to go with it and some courage to step up and say something or do something about it. In the name of Jesus. My prayer for us this Lenten season as we head towards Easter is that we're building up some Christ-like courage in and among us to be who Jesus calls us to be. Each of us, in whatever way, whatever place, whatever we see, just like Jesus did. And then collectively us as a community of faith to engage this world with conviction. The conviction of courage. God may just be stirring something up in you. Before we finish our time of worship and sing one more song, I want to ask you if we could have a moment to pray together. So I'm going to invite you back into that posture of that woman who was forced to be hunched over. But I'm inviting you in a spirit of prayer to be mindful of where in your own life, in your own spirit, do you feel that weight, that burden? That can be crippling. Where this morning might you hear the voice of Jesus calling? calling you and telling you that you've been set free. Then in that freedom, with conviction, and courage, where might you look up and look out and see where Jesus is calling you to speak, to act, to give yourself to be a part of the redemption and restoration, the healing and salvation of our world. Oh God, here we are, and we are yours. Oh God, we give thanks for the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, we give thanks for the ways that you have redeemed and restored us to new life. And that Jesus' example, with the conviction of courage to heal someone who no one else would honor or heal or give the time of day, to give her her place in your kingdom, in your church. Oh God, would you give us that same conviction of courage to be ministers of your kingdom today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you to stand as we sing one last song together.
God. And don't all my life you have been faithful. Oh, yes, you have. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, yes, Lord. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been so, so good, yeah. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
One of the things I love about this church is that we go on this journey together. You are not at this alone. God has given us each other to grow together in faith. You'll see in the bulletin a lot of ways that we're doing that. You'll also get that in our email. I mentioned it comes out every week. If you don't get it, please sign up for it. You can go to the website and do that, or stop at the desk right out here on your way out. Just a few things I want to point out. This Wednesday we're having a meal, that Shamrock dinner. You see that mentioned in there, so I hope that you'll be here. For that, the information is, like I said, in the email newsletter and in the bulletin. We also are leaving right out of here to go to all kinds of opportunities to sit around and discuss our faith together. We got classes and groups. I mentioned one that I'm kind of fond of that I've been leading, but it's right up here and make a left, and we're in the hospitality room. We're just going to spend another hour talking about this together, hopefully growing in our faith together. And then also, don't miss the opportunities we have to give. To give back into our community, to be a blessing to people who need it. We're receiving a couple of donation offerings right now. One of them is to support the Tiger Store over at Huntley Hills Elementary. So you see baskets around the church that are there so you can bring the gifts, or you can just, you know, have it shipped right there on the Amazon wish list. But the other thing is Palm Sunday. So that first Sunday in April, as we come in and wave our palms and celebrate Jesus coming into Jerusalem, we're also going to bring our books that we're going to donate to give in cooperation with the Girl Scouts and Huntley Hills Elementary to kids who need books to be able to read. And so you see that offering, that invitation to give. So please go and get the books and have them ready with you on Palm Sunday. And we're going to have an opportunity to bring those forward as an offering together as we celebrate the arrival of Christ. That's just a few of the things that we got going on. All of it because we know the power, healing power of Jesus.